In 1961, social psychologist Stanley Milgram began a series of experiments in a basement at Yale University. At their core, Milgram was looking at issues of authority, or more specifically, he was investigating genocide and whether people would kill another merely because they were told to by an authority figure, regardless of a conscientious objection. His experiment was straightforward enough. A subject was told that they were assisting in a learning experiment. The learner was someone Milgram had named Mr. Wallace, only he wasn't actually learning anything. He was an actor. He was playing a part, and he was in on the experiment. Throughout the course of the experiment, Mr. Wallace was hooked up to a series of sham electrodes that looked shockingly like an electric chair, and the subject didn't know they were fake, and that was an integral part of the experiment. The subject had to believe that these were able to deliver very real, very electric shocks, so they let the subject feel a live electrode shocking him. Then the subject and Mr. Wallace were placed such as they could not see each other, and then Mr. Wallace was asked to answer a series of questions. Each incorrect answer garnered Mr. Wallace a shock, delivered by the subject who was pushing a button. And each time he got something wrong, the voltage increased. Before the subject, there was a scale that showed that 15 volts is a slight shock, 300 volts is a very dangerous and severe shock, and 450 volts is deadly. Mr. Wallace mostly gave wrong answers on purpose and caused the voltage to increase by 15 volts for each wrong answer. As the experiment progressed, and the voltage increased, Mr. Wallace would scream. He would beg to be let out of the experiment. He would declare that he had heart problems and frantically bargain and eventually go silent, and limp, and seemingly dead. All of it was an act. If the subject had an objection or concern, they were prodded on to keep going forward with four escalating orders. The first was, please continue. The second was that the experiment requires you to continue. The third was, it is absolutely essential that you continue. And the fourth and final was, you have no other choice but to continue. So what did he find? Would a person administer a lethal shock to an innocent person just because they were told to? We hear in today's gospel reading that Herod is facing his own moral crisis. John the Baptist has been telling him that his marriage to his brother's wife, Herodias, is unlawful. We don't really know what Herod thinks about all of this. There's no condemnation from him in the text, but we do know for certain that Herodias, his current wife, is upset. We are told that she had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But Herod won't allow it. He respects John, or maybe he fears John. He knows that John is an upright and holy man. And we are told, what I think is a little bit amusing, that while he was confused about what John frequently would say, he still liked to listen to him. And then what follows is a portrait of a highly dysfunctional family. Now, scholars will debate whether the dancing girl is the daughter of Herod and Herodias, or is Herodias' daughter from a previous marriage. And frequently the girl is given a name, Salome. We get this from the writings of Josephus. But we don't know for sure. And scholars also don't agree about what kind of dance is being performed. Is it an innocent child dancing before her father at a party? Or is it an overly sexualized dance, possibly even a striptease, that has Herod and his wealthy courtiers and officers drooling? I mean, both are problematic, and they're both using this child for parental gain. Whether it was fueled by drunkenness, lechery, or merely just to show off to his friends, Herod offers Salome up to half of his kingdom as a result of this dance. But instead, Herodias tells her daughter to request the head of John the Baptist. But Salome, and this points to probably her lack of innocence, ups her mother's request. She tells Herod that not only does she want the head of John the Baptist, but she would like it on a platter, a grotesque final course for this disturbing dinner party. And Herod is deeply grieved. He has abdicated his authority to Salome, who relinquishes it to Herodias. A child acting as a puppet for her mother has entered Herod's psyche. She has become his authority figure, with his selfish arrogance and conceit prodding him ever forward. Please continue. We would think Herod is the one with the authority and that his conscience would and should guide him. After all, he is the ruler. The experiment requires you to continue. But now all eyes are on him. He has sworn a foolish oath to Salome in front of all of his guests, and he doesn't want to refuse her. It is absolutely essential that you continue. He can call it off. He may look weaker or a bit foolish in front of the rich and powerful at his party, but he will have maintained his integrity. He will not have killed an innocent man. You have no other choice but to continue. So immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. Experiment over, John is dead. Which brings us back to Milgram. What did he find? Could regular people really go so far as to kill an innocent person? Surprisingly, the answer is yes, for most people. Milgram and others who have recreated this experiment found that about 65% of people would administer a lethal shock, with close to 100% administering a severe, painful 300-volt shock. What's been interesting about his experiment, though, is that it is getting harder and harder to replicate. Once people hear about it, they start to question things. They start to be more skeptical of the systems and the people around them that demand their outright allegiance. The story of the beheading of John the Baptist falls at a curious point in the scriptures. It is right after the sending of the disciples that we heard last week, and the coming back together of the disciples, which we will hear next week. And some have argued that they place this the story in this location to teach the lesson that when we serve God, we may get into trouble, like John the Baptist, that our devotion to God may cost us dearly, even with our lives. This reality is true and has been proven throughout the centuries, but I want you to think about a different possibility. I think this story teaches followers of Jesus that it is both our right and our duty to question authority and motives, especially when they don't make sense or when they push against our moral compass. Even if that authority is monolithic, like a government or a church. The wide-eyed disciples going out on their missions are in a position of power, whether they know it or not. They could easily manipulate others for their own gain or misrepresent the truth in order to control. We don't have to look too far in the history of Christianity to see that the Bible has been used to enslave people, to discriminate, to subjugate and exploit, to perpetuate child abuse, encourage tribalism and nationalism, to commit acts of genocide and murder, and to neglect and harm the natural world. And that is why it is so important to remember that we actually do have a litmus test. We have a way of determining if this is good or not. Because God is love, full stop. If it is not love, it is not God. I think Herod offers us a parable about the dangers of not adhering to what one knows is right, even if it is unpopular, and even if it means giving actions a second thought or acknowledging when we've gone astray. John teaches us that the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. When we're wrong, we can't be afraid to repent, to admit it, to apologize, and to change. It's the only way to course correct and stay in alignment with the love of God. Herod's party is a hellish feast marked with betrayal and violence and self-interest. But I'm also reminded of another feast, one much, much different, where Jesus shares his body and blood freely with all people. The Eucharist, which we will celebrate. Jesus meets us here at this table week after week and reorients us to the kind of people that God has called us to be. Society tells us that there is an authority that can lead us to kill and to devalue, to oppress each other and the earth. And that may be, but it isn't God. God is the authority that only leads to life. In all that we do, we are to join in God's mission of love and healing for all people. And so, please continue to walk in love. The experiment requires you to continue to walk in love. It is absolutely essential that you continue to walk in love. You have no other choice but to continue to walk in love.